How does one get into this first and foremost? Was there a moment in your life that was a turning point for you? Did you go through an exorcism yourself?
I did actually. And long story short, 4 years of age, taken to England, was there for about 6 months with my mother and had repeated exorcisms carried out on my body.
Wow.
I was actually just a psychic child. I didn't understand that, and nobody in my family understood that. That was just sort of me and mum, really, and a few of her Christian church associates. And instead of, educating me in the way of, you know, that this is spirit, so I could understand and grow up feeling normal and okay, they whisked me off instead to have major exorcisms performed, and of course nothing came out.
Yeah. So, like, obviously from that point on, was your, because you were saying is obviously your psychic ability early on and, you know, your connection with whatever it might be. Did that change things for a while then after that, you know, obviously heavy process?
Yeah, it sort of, look, to be honest, because I was raised Seventh-day Adventist with my mum, and being just a little, you know, tacker at 4 years of age, you don't remember that much. Yeah. And I just remember, you know, it's sort of a little bit hard, like, looking back, but really until maybe about the age of 11 or 12, I think puberty has got a lot to do with males and females developing more in the sense of it, when we're talking psychic side or their spiritual side and understanding it. So it's sort of, I was just a little bit numb for those years until I got to about the age of 12 and just thought, oh, maybe I'm just a strange kid, you know?
Puberty, we all feel strange going through that time in our life, that's for sure. But for being on both sides, for having gone through an exorcism or several and now performing them, just take us a little bit through the process, because obviously we have all seen a movie or two and have an automatic assumption of what they're like. What is the process during and how do people feel afterwards?
Yeah, this is the thing. They're so varied. In some ways, they're so similar, but they're also so varied because, of course, it's a case-by-case situation. Yeah. And you can't, you know, sort of predict how someone's going to behave in an exorcism, how long it's going to take, and also entirely what comes out of them or what leaves their auroric state or space. So, you know, I try not to complicate these things because they are complicated. You know, it's not just one system fits all and a person comes through and has a standard rite. But there are basically four parts of a ritual once they're designed specifically for that person. And it is a protection at the beginning and a protection at the end ceremony. Mm-hmm. All right. In the middle, it's all about conjuring, calling out, making manifest what is attached or how many things are attached. And then the crux of the ritual is that third point of actually removing it from the body or the field around the body, the spiritual energy that we have, and then removing it from this continuum, this dimension. So those sort of four steps, you know, are really sort of standard. But of course, the ritual is specifically written stage two and stage three for that individual.
How physical is it? Because I think like a lot of us would, you know, the only thing we know about exorcisms is The Exorcist. And obviously, you know, we're watching heads rotate. How much movement is involved?
Yeah, look, I guess, you know, Hollywood in some ways, it's amazing. You know, I love the movies and there's some things where they bring real stories to life and it's just like you go, oh, my God, does that really happen? And then there's, of course, a whole pile of stuff that's on top of that, the digital work that you don't see. But you do see people. It's rare, but if you're talking extreme cases, yes, there is a small percentage of extreme cases where a body will raise itself off the floor. You know, it will levitate, it will throw itself against a wall. Lots of cursing and cussing, and I still haven't seen a 360-degree head turn, I've got to say.
So are there many people in Australia calling upon your service? Mm.
Worldwide, I have to say, guys, worldwide, we would get now, it really is extreme. And I'd say the last, oh, look, every year it triples. It doesn't even double, it triples. I have people fly in. I live about 12 minutes drive from the airport, from Tullamarine Airport, and I have people fly in from everywhere. We had Russia, China, Hong Kong, New Zealand, England and America just in the last 10 days.
Wow.
So it Yeah, it is. And I always also question, if you're calling from another country, I mean, not to mention Australia, that's extremely busy, but have you not got people over there that can, you know? So it's a real, look, it's just fascinating. I'm actually writing a book now of some cases because there's so many cases and I just can't keep up. But I think it's also, you know, you don't just say, look, because somebody says, you know, I think it's also the latest fashion or on trend, you know, and it's a bit, it's not about that. It's got to be taken seriously. And I think you have to understand that you're assessed first. You know, you don't just race in and have an exorcism. There's a big process. I work with mental health. I work with psychiatry. I have a great respect for science. You know, all that has to be taken into account. And, you know, drug psychosis, anybody, there's a lot of ICE addicts, a lot of prisoners that I see who, you know, and what comes first, the demon or the drug that brings in the demon, you know, there's those sort of questions. Mm. So it's a really interesting and an unusual line of work, I guess.
Because what are the, I guess, for lack of a better word, symptoms that are going to, like, lead people to search for your help?
Look, straight away a lot of people ring and firstly they'll say, look, I just see things. You know, I just, I see, you know, images or sounds or voices or apparitions that are not human. They don't appear human or I feel like something's watching me. A lot of poltergeistic energy, as in, you know, a poltergeist that enters a building who will move things around, and a lot of people will assume, well, that means I'm possessed. It's demonic, so it's entered me. So there's a lot of, a lot of people these days, I think, are talking about what they see or what they have experienced, whereas, you know, it's not to say, well, I guess there is more of it because there's more people in the world now, but I think back, you know, 20, 30, 100 years ago, there were still people feeling this way, but they just weren't comfortable to talk about it because, you know, it was, now it's so open, you know, everybody's about being so truthful and show your vulnerability, show your rawness. So people will ring up with everything and anything in description. But look, when you see a genuine case of full possession, it's not the querent, which is the questionnaire, the person needing the service, who makes the phone call or comes in ever. You know, it's not. It's, you know, social workers or the mental health service or doctors or their family or sometimes police or, you know, it's always a third party that says, we have tried everything. I've got a local council actually here in Melbourne who is a very prominent council worker who's calling at the moment saying, you know, I can't service this. It's meant to be a psychological situation with a, you know, a lady who I'm seeing. She needs something. There's something else here. I can't even work it out and I don't even believe in it. You know, so it's when you see that and you see someone who's genuinely possessed, often their skin is grey or blue. There's a stench from the body that is like, I don't know if you've ever smelt a dead body or worked around one. I don't feel either of you getting
it. No.
But it's, you know, there's things you just can't question. You would start thinking, look, maybe this person's diseased. You know, is there a disease or illness causing this? But when you start to see shapes or sigils or markings cut into the skin in front of you with somebody just laying there and nobody's doing that, or multiple languages within minutes of each other, you know, overlapping, you're pretty sure that this is real. And we've tried to document this on film, and I've had a lot of media over the years try to capture a true blown, you know, full, I call it, full demonic possession. And it's just so difficult because cameras won't work, it won't pick it up.
There's interference, not, obviously, coming from outside sources.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not meant to be, I think, known or shown to this degree, but I really would like to show the public that, not to scare them, but to show them that, you know, this is not, you know, when it does happen, it's quite fascinating and quite obviously horrible, but fascinating for the exorcist and also proves your worth to actually remove it. And that's also, you were saying what happens during. What happens after is so important to me that, you know, I have numerous people right now who are willing to go public with, who have had serious exorcisms, mild to moderate cases of possession, who now hold jobs. They, you would just see them walking down the street, think they're a normal person, and yet a few years ago they were locked up. They were, you know, literally very possessed. And I would like to show the end result that a person can return to the world, can, you know, work and marry and have babies and whatever they want to do, they can live a normal life after being present.
So with the cases on the rise and with the work you do, has there ever been a time where you feared for your life? Has there ever been a case where even you may be questioned, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. Look, definitely, I'm 50 years old now, and as I've got to this age and I've started sort of exercising at 15, 16 years of age, 19 professionally. So it's a good, say, 30 years of my life. Really, the last 20 or so intensely, and I've seen a huge change. So, can you just repeat that for me? I'll just go back to that.
That's okay. I was just wondering, has there ever been a case or a time where you genuinely feared for your life?
Yeah. I went on a journey there with you. I would have to say, you know, in saying that all about the length of time that I've worked, I'm now not as scared.
Okay.
I feel very empowered, but I'm not stupid. It doesn't mean I'm, you know, I believe we always learn, and we should always, you know, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And that is, you know, very, very important. But I would say being locked into dungeons, underground cells, old buildings, old psychiatric units, where they've had mass, you know, thousands of people over years, like Ararat in the J Ward prison up there, the Aradal Asylum up there, places that it's not a touristy hotspot where you see a bit of energy here and there, but places that are dormant, you know, where there's not a lot of activity, particularly in America or older countries. In those buildings. So I get in... I get called in to exercise these places before they usually demolish or rebuild them. And I get locked in and locked down, we call it. Mm-hmm. So I go in at nightfall. I get locked in underground mostly, and then let out at daybreak, a bit like a vampire, I suppose, but I'm working underground. It's really fascinating and very terrifying, yes, because then you can have, I mean, I've been assaulted, kicked, bitten, grabbed by the hair, thrown around. You know, I have a regular osteopathy appointment each month to realign my body, which I've had for a long time because of the damage it causes.
Oh, wow.
I've been stabbed. I've had spirits whisper in my ear things that only I know, you know, that's happened when I was a little girl with specific details. Mm. So, yes, it is scary. And I'm still yet to find a security guard who will go through the whole process till dawn with me and not run away.
I mean, that's just incredible to hear. But I'm sure that you do receive like a bit of skepticism, don't you? Because surely, you know, some people are probably listening to this thinking, maybe this lady's had a few too many wines and she's a bit cooked. Is there something that you would say to them that would convince them? Or,
well, again, I'm not sort of here to... Witches, I'm a witch. And, you know, being a witch and a pagan, we don't go around and try and convert people to our belief system or convince you to... Not that I'm saying all witches are exorcists, because they're not at all. But, look, I'm so busy I don't even have time to look at the negative media, you know, to be honest. It's like, let people believe what they want, and I don't want to convert anyone. But all I have to say is, just have you seen it? You know, if somebody says, oh, well, that doesn't work, or that's full of rubbish, or, you know, have you seen something? Have you ever actually experienced it? Because, you know, unless we have, we don't really have a right, do we, to have a full, you know, we can have an opinion, but we can't really have a fact about it, you know, because you haven't factually experienced it. And energy, again, and spirit, we think spirit is real. All there is in this universe is energy, frequency, and vibration.
Yeah.
And if we forget about all the layers of all different religions or God force, or, you know, I believe this and you believe that, take all that away, it's energy. So energy is positive and negative, it's variant, and it's existing always. So therefore, does it not make sense that there can be a dark presence of energy equal as to our happy, you know, happy lifestyle? So, yeah, you know, I don't get caught up in... poor Charlotte Dawson, you know, she was a beautiful, dear soul and a client of mine. And, you know, I feel very sad, you know, for people like that who get so, you know, traumatised by bad media and people, you know, flaming behind keyboards. And I don't buy into anything negative that people say about me. I'm just too busy.
Well, this is what we love about our show, because we go in with an open mind and we are just so genuinely curious, and we have appreciated just a few minutes of your time. Lizzie Rose, thank you so much for joining us on The Departure Lounge and sharing some of your world with us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Lots of love to both of you, and you have a great week.